With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything... Jay, should we start again? Refresh.
Yeah, shall we?
Yeah.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name is Serge.
And my name is James.
Still in with a chance, James. You're still in with a chance. Have to say, up to 30th overall is impressive.
I'm not 30th overall.
Oh, okay. Yesterday didn't work out quite as planned.
I'm 23rd.
Oh, wow. Lewis Dunk came in yesterday. Course, so many people on Azpilicueta. 23rd. How many points off top?
Too many, unfortunately. Oh, but there's
I can't count my money yet.
No, you can't. Cheeky bugger.
I am
96 points off first. There's gaps that have opened up at the top of the leaderboard. So, I mean, Michael Shipley, who's ahead, he's got a 13-point lead. And then Thomas Lovell, who's second, he's got a 26-point lead over third. There's a bit of a gap between, I noticed, 12th and 13th. There's kind of a break of like 13 points there. And there's another one somewhere else as well. There's gaps beginning to open up now where, like, for someone in my position, I could have a really good game week coming up, for example. I might only jump two or three places or something, depending on what everybody else does as well. So very difficult to make the ground. I mean, 96 points over, what have we got left? Probably about 24 captaincy days, something
there's
like
exactly
that.
Exactly 24 game days left, potential game days. I mean, yeah, there's every chance of certain scenarios where they might not play a game on Friday.
I'd need that, like with Lewis Dunk last night, where all the people ahead of me, like they haven't got, I mean, Dunk's still like 25% owned in the top 1,000 or something. And it's got me 14 points. I need that to happen another 7-8 times over, right? It's going to be nearly impossible.
Yeah, you're talking about making up 5 points every single day. If there's 24, so there's 100 points, which, okay, 4 points more than the winners, than the people at the top every single match day, which is quite a bit to make up, as we know so much of it's template now as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a go.
It's
not possible, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. But even if you got second or third, right? Is there a third prize? I know the second prize.
Yeah, there's bits of money and stuff. I think I'm not sure. 5,000 maybe second, third of thousands, and console and ship fourth, fifth maybe.
Nice.
I forget. I'm in a really strong position in my mini leagues, which is, it's easy to say go for the prize, but I'm in such a strong position in my mini leagues now that it would probably equate
that
to not far off finishing in the £1,000 place, for example. So, I mean, obviously I'd get both if that happened, most likely, but I need to be conscious of that. There is potential, you know, there's a good fucking weekend away there or something, like, so I need to be a little bit conscious of that.
I'm still flat, James. I mean, I went with the crowd really this week in terms of Harry Kane on the Friday, Jesse Lingard on the Saturday. I did have Patricio for his clean sheet, which was nice. I went with Bruno on the Sunday, as did a lot of people. I had Diogo Jota on the Monday. That didn't matter either because Salah didn't really return, who was the other highly owned player. I know you swam away with Trent and that did well for you. And last night, I skipped it. I had Azpilicueta and I looked at the teams and I just couldn't bring myself to buy another Chelsea player. And I didn't, and I'm probably glad, because if I had, I would have maybe gone defensive rather, or Mason Mount is the other one that we talked about. He didn't do anything either. So I'm happy that I skipped it actually yesterday. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, it affected me massively. in terms of my points return. So I'm fine with that. And I've still got the 9 transfers, but I'm at 1300, which is where I've been for probably about 4 or 5 weeks. But I do have 9 transfers. 9 transfers in the 24 match days left means every 3 days I can be making a move from here to there. And especially if we get these rearrangements and stuff, I think there'll be some ground to be made. So looking forward to making some moves. I've got Kevin De Bruyne tonight, or any of the defensive City assets, or Harry Kane, and then I'll be buying a Leicester player tomorrow. But
we'll come on to captaincy because tonight's not easy.
No,
there's
not.
Major issues with tonight now.
But to be honest, you know what? There wasn't so much apathy with football in general yesterday, but I do think a small part of me skipping yesterday was just, I don't really care. Whatever happens, happens kind of situation.
Well, I'll be very honest. To everybody and say Monday was very full on with content and the news and whatnots. And I recorded a pod with Mark Hammond, our Norwich correspondent, FBL Badger, for Tuesday, and we finished just before 7. And I'll be honest, at that point in time, I didn't have anything in my brain that was even telling me that Leeds and Liverpool were playing that night. So Mark was on the phone with me, on Zoom with me, when the teams dropped. And my plan was to go Rafinha and swing against the Liverpool ownership and stuff. And I'd also had this little inkling, which had said on my stream on Saturday, that I think Salah might get left out. It just looked like it was his turn. Like it's quite possibly Firmino's turn this coming weekend, for example, if that's what Klopp's trying to do. And obviously Rafinha wasn't in the team. I've got no coverage. And Mark said to me, he says, well, what was your backup plan? I know you've got one. I said, well, my backup plan was to buy Trent. He's fucking buy Trent then. So I did buy Trent. I certainly had reluctance in it. I mean, Trent's return's fluky as hell. He's obviously got the assist. I don't know where he's pulled the man of the match from. I don't quite get that decision, actually, but I'll take it. It feels like that's probably up there with one of the man of the matches this season I'd probably least agree with, actually, even though it benefited me. I obviously captained Kane Friday. Saturday, Lingard. And obviously had Patricio's clean sheet to come with that as well. I did go Bruno myself. Sunday, Rob Holding's 5 points was useful. It just, you know, tie it over if you're not going to keep a clean sheet. I obviously went with Trent Monday. And obviously last night it really worked out for me. And to be honest with you, the number one reason why I've made the climb over the last 14 to 21 days or so is because I held Lewis Dunk.
Lewis Dunk. Would you believe it is the one that might win you some money? Incredible.
That's not going to buy. I'm going to buy Aubameyang Friday night. Jokes. I mean, Lewis Dunk over the last 5 game weeks from when I brought him back in, 9, 10, 1, 9, 7. And for me, that's an extra 26 points through captaincy as well. Decent. So what's that? 28, 35, 36, another 62 points for me from Lewis Dunk over the last 5 games, basically. And that is so much more, unfortunately. And I don't disagree with anyone who went for Azpilicueta or a different Chelsea player when the West Brom came around. That's been the difference, because I wouldn't have got anywhere near those points if I'd have gone with Azpilicueta.
Agreed.
And so look, there's a little bit of luck in that. There was some... I spoke at the time before doing it in saying, because it was the one before when we had Fergie on, wasn't it, from Hub? And that we were trying to look for what could be different to make the ground. And the only conclusion I could really come to was that sometimes it's doing nothing. So if everyone's shipping away from someone, why? And you have to question, is that the right decision? Is there things coming up? And I looked at the Chelsea fixture and said then, look, it's going to be 3 days after an FA Cup semi-final. I've got the player here that's given me the coverage for that single game day. And when Chelsea played West Brom that day, I had Rafinha that I could swing against Sheffield United. The other players I could swing against when Chelsea played Crystal Palace. And therefore, for me, it was going back to something we've covered a lot this season, need versus want. I wanted Azpilicueta like everybody else, but actually I didn't need it. I need a Leicester player tomorrow. There's no doubt about that. I have to buy one. So it's understanding need versus want. And on this occasion, it's worked out for me. But for the luck of Lewis Dunk, if you want to call it luck, there's decisions, or positive decisions, there's decisions I've made that you could argue are wrong. I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin sitting in a squad who I could have got rid of at any point over the last week. I've got Yannick Vestergaard sitting in the squad who I could have got rid of at any point over the last 3-4 game weeks and has been absolutely awful. And it might be, which we'll explain in a moment or so, that these two players are possibly going to come back very handy for me. And that's why they haven't gone. And I can't give you the answer on that in terms of whether it's going to work or not. What I really need is some TV clarification before that Leicester game tomorrow night. I think we would have already had TV fixture announcement this week if it wasn't for all the other stuff that was going on, which quite correctly has been keeping the Premier League quite busy. We could get something today. We could get something tomorrow. We would definitely get something on Friday. We have to, because at the moment in match week 34, every game is scheduled for 3 o'clock on a Saturday. It's obviously not going to be. And that's 10 days away. Mm. So there needs to be some action fairly soon, even if it's just originally to say, right, you're going to be on Friday, you're going to be on Sunday for that particular game week, come back and sort the rest out afterwards. I would have thought Sky and BT had still been having talks about what they're doing.
Yeah, of course.
It's just not been the Premier League's priority. And I don't think it would have been good PR either to say, oh, here's your TV fixtures.
No, exactly.
So hopefully we'll get something on that quite soon. We have to, within the next 48 hours or so, get something.
And yesterday, in spite of not caring because of the whole European Super League stuff as well, as soon as obviously the protests happened at Chelsea, the news started breaking that City, Chelsea, Barca are probably going to pull out. Woodward resigned. Come 8 o'clock, or 8.15 was the actual kickoff. All I was thinking, mate, was come on, Brighton. And to be honest, I spent that entire game saying, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Because once again, when we've dropped points, Liverpool and Chelsea get in their sign of drop points. I'm looking forward to that 5.30 game on Saturday against Chelsea, because they've got to then jump on a plane and hop over to Madrid straight after for the Champions League. So they may as well rest all their players. we've got to do something against Chelsea this weekend. I know we're going to talk about Sky. We're going to talk about the fixtures. FPL, it's slowly drifting down my priority list as we get closer. A draw at Chelsea, and then we win 4 out of the last 5. West Ham are getting Champions League, I reckon. I'm hoping for 4 wins, 2 draws from the last 6.
2 days ago, I thought you didn't care about the Champions League. It was an irrelevance.
Well, it's staying, isn't it, now?
Oh, okay.
It's staying, isn't it? So
this is not the podcast to slam you, Rachel, but don't worry. We're still going to do that, by the way.
And it's not even going Champions League. It's just finishing fourth. Actually, it looks like being fourth in itself is an achievement. It's fun and games now. But I want to beat Chelsea.
I'm sure that Arsene Wenger will be on hand to give you your trophy.
Absolutely. Right, let's talk about these fixtures that we have or know or don't know and what you think might happen in the coming weeks, James.
Let's do that and we'll do a bit of captaincy and some cues and stuff. So there are some things we can understand and plot because of the FA Cup semi-final results. We said on our Patreon podcast on Friday that the kind of doomsday FA Cup final would probably be Chelsea versus Leicester, and that's what we've got. So there's a few things we can understand. Firstly, the longer this goes on without TV fixtures, the less likely we are to have a Friday game, I think, on Friday the 30th. But we could still have one, and there are still infinite possibilities that could be on. We've basically got 7 games that could still be on that Friday night, right? Southampton, Fulham, we mentioned about the idea of it coming further forward, possibly over the next 7 days or so, because Southampton lost in the semi-final. That's obviously not going to happen now and stays in match week 36. The only thing we can say for clarity for match week 34 is that Crystal Palace will play Manchester City on the Saturday. That is a certainty, because Man City play in the Champions League on the Wednesday before and the Tuesday afterwards. I presume Man City are now still competing in the Champions League. So that's a certainty that Palace and Man City will be on the Saturday. Other than that, there's not a lot I can tell you, other than United and Liverpool is highly likely to be the Sunday. And the same applies to Newcastle and Arsenal. But in theory, both of those fixtures could be on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. Chelsea against Fulham will definitely be the Saturday or Sunday. Won't be the Friday or the Monday because, again, it's Chelsea's Champions League involvement. It's extremely unlikely to be the Sunday. I mean, Chelsea Fulham will probably be that Saturday, the same as Man City at Crystal Palace, I would have thought. Moving further forward, again, the weekend of match week 35, there's not too much clarity, but actually, ironically, more than 34. So There are a few fixtures we can definitely say will be on Sunday the 9th of May. Those two fixtures are Arsenal versus West Bromwich Albion and Aston Villa versus Manchester United. They are definitely going to be on the Sunday. The reason why they're definitely going to be on the Sunday is because they play, obviously, in Europe on the Thursday in their semi-final second legs before. And we assume, and it's on the assumption, that the Premier League will move the two final game weeks, 36 back to the weekend of the FA Cup final and 37 to the midweek afterwards, to allow the access of fans for all 20 teams for their final home game. That creates the midweek that's free to be in between match weeks 35 and 36. And of course, with Arsenal and United now playing on that Sunday, guess who their next two opponents are?
Chelsea and Leicester.
Unbelievable, right? So it means those two games, because Chelsea and Leicester will play in the FA Cup final the following Saturday, should all the fixtures move as we anticipate, it means that Chelsea versus Arsenal and Manchester United and Leicester would have to be on Wednesday the 12th of May. You go, well, that's all right. Okay, so I've got great choice for that night. The problem with them both playing the same night is we are now likely to get single game days for Southampton versus Crystal Palace on Tuesday the 11th and Aston Villa versus Everton on Thursday the 13th. And the reason why that order is that way round is, again, because Aston Villa have got to play Manchester United on Sunday the 9th, so they can't be Tuesday the 11th. They ain't going to put it on the Wednesday with the other two games as well, so presumably it goes on the Thursday, which leaves the Tuesday free and open for Southampton against Crystal Palace. And that's what I meant about the idea when I said, okay, Vestergaard, Calvert-Lewin sitting there at the moment is a bit of a problem for me. But very quickly, if I sell them both, I very quickly possibly got two single game days where I've got no coverage.
How many transfers you got left for the listeners? Five?
I've now got five, I think I want to say, yes.
And
five.
After tomorrow, you'll have four, bringing in a Leicester player.
Possibly three.
Right.
Because if I get the clarity tomorrow and I can plot it out, and how it looks. I mean, it's not impossible, for example, that Southampton, Palace and Everton Villa will play both on the Thursday, for example. It's not impossible. And I know, of course, it's also possible that they won't move the fixtures in the way we anticipate, right? It's also a possibility. Although we do strongly anticipate that will happen. I can then plot in terms of whether I need it or not. So if those two games were to be the same day, suddenly I'm going, right, okay, I can really sacrifice Vestergaard now. Because if you said to me now, and this is kind of the point, if Vestergaard, if he picks me up 2-2-2, whatever, over the games in between, and then picks me up the 20 against Palace, a team that is happy to give up possession all the time, that's worth it. Suddenly look at it and go, 100%. Oh, over three game weeks, he's averaged me 8 points per week. And then therefore he's worth, who can I buy that I can guarantee is going to be worth that transfer in that case? So it's easy to look at it now and go, well, Vestergaard's been shit. Of course he has. I want to sell him. But he could very quickly become very, very handy for me. And actually, particularly as well, if it's the Tuesday, which I think it will, I've still got a great escape off him, is the other point.
Yeah, I mean, whether you want to, because they go into Fulham afterwards, and so it's not a bad fixture to keep him for one more, maybe.
That obviously has, if it pans out that way, that obviously has knock-on effects. I mean, if Villa and Everton is on the Thursday night, for example, we can also push back Villa and Everton's respective fixtures for afterwards as well. So it means Everton, Sheffield United in match week, what we presume will be 36 then at the weekend, and Everton, Sheffield United and Crystal Palace versus Villa will be on Sunday the 16th. And then that opens up a further four fixtures that wouldn't be on Tuesday the 18th. So we've actually right now, I've got more indication of what's likely to be on Tuesday the 18th than I do on Saturday the 1st. In a really weird kind of roundabout way.
Yeah.
But all the pieces need to fit into place for that to kind of work. I think you should be strongly aware that Southampton and Palace and Villa versus Everton are highly likely to be single game days now. That's, I think, the big picture out of this. And do you care? There'd be a lot of people sitting there with Emi Martinez going, fine, yeah, of course, he stays, and you're obviously fine with that. Southampton Palace, for the majority of people, is going to be skip. And I get that. I think if I sell Vestergaard, I don't think I'd go back for it. That's part where I'd probably keep.
Yeah. exactly that. And what are your thoughts around captaincy then? So we've got 2 days left for this particular match week, today being the awkward one. Well, Spurs, we'll know the team. And if we know the team and Kane's in it, I'm going to be going Kane.
Harry Kane is not going to be in the Tottenham team. I say that with 99% certainty.
Right. Okay. So then it leaves me Manchester City players, of which I have De Bruyne, who has a knock as well, Stones and Cancelo. I'm going to have to just take a gamble on Stones or Cancelo. I don't feel confident armbanding Kevin De Bruyne because of his knock as well, potentially.
Would you consider buying Son? How many transfers you got left?
9.
I think you should consider that, personally. And that's not for the people with sort of 4 transfers left and stuff. I think generally that would be a no, because you've probably got some coverage in the other game tonight. But I think for you with 9, I'd be very tempted to buy Son.
Okay.
And just accept that, yes, there's no game this weekend, but you can captain him tonight, good fixture. You got Sheffield United at home afterwards in match week 34, which is one of the possibilities for a Friday or Monday night, for example. You can captain him again there. If Kane's still out, you're laughing. Mm. You're potentially looking at 2 big captaincies that people won't be able to get to. I think for most people, I would advise against that move. It's not a move I'm considering, for example. But I think for those with heavy transfer counts, I think buying Heung-Min Son tonight should be considered. Tottenham, I've got my fingers crossed, are going to play very differently to what you've been used to, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's worth considering. And it's not impossible, right? Mason will get interviewed before the game. It's not impossible that Ryan Mason says, yeah, do you know what? Kane, unfortunately, is out for 3 weeks or something. So, you know, keep your ears to the ground. You might get some information before the game starts. He definitely did not train yesterday.
Right.
So I cannot foresee how he's going to play today. I can't foresee. Unless Tottenham are lying. I don't see why they'd lie. It might be lying with Sunday in mind, but I don't think they're lying with tonight in mind.
No.
So what will you do?
I mean, yeah, if Kane's not in, that's an interesting shout. Because even if Kane is in, he'll still play against... If Kane's not in and Son, and I go to Son will still play against Sheffield United. And it's not the worst alternative captain to swing with. So Kane to Son might be a straightforward move, and I'll just captain Son in this game, and then Sheffield United as well, as and when that we know what day that's going to be on. So yeah, that's a consideration. And if not, it'd probably be Stones,
who didn't play in the semi-final, did he?
No,
so you should be all right there, actually.
Yeah, one of the two of them will cover me off.
So I've got Diaz and Vestergaard, and it's probably a debate for me. Well, it's obviously a debate. Do I think Diaz is going to play? And weighing up, do I think Diaz plays in the League Cup final against Tottenham on Sunday? Because he obviously definitely plays against PSG in midweek, right? That's a certainty. He's played in the FA Cup semi-final, gone. I think it's fair to assume that Ruben Diaz is either not going to play tonight or not going to play on Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. It would have been so handy to have the Manchester City team tonight. So handy. And I think, therefore, by default, I'm going to go with Vestergaard and just look at it and go, we saw last night the impact on Chelsea of what happened outside the ground. And Chelsea's need for victory last night was far better than Tottenham's. And you could make a case at the moment that Brighton are a better team than Southampton. They definitely are defensively.
Do you think that that affected the players?
Well, last night for Chelsea?
Yeah.
Absolutely hugely. Absolutely hugely. If all that's happened over the last 2 days, I think we see a different football match last night, and there's no guarantee it would have finished. It might have finished the way it did, but there's no guarantee that would have happened. Tottenham are without their best striker tonight. We don't know what's going to happen, because one of the major issues with Tottenham that they do have is fitness. There's no way Mason's turned around their fitness in 24 hours, even though I suspect, having been a disciple of Pochettino's work, he probably would want Tottenham to go and play a pressing game. And Southampton have been very disappointing recently. But when they're at it, they're a high-energy team.
Correct, yeah.
Now, if Southampton get a good foothold of the game, there is a possibility that Vestergaard will get near passing points. And I think that's enough for me to go for that with no clarity of Ruben Diaz is going to play, unless Johnny Pringle can get on the Slack channel and tell me. The rumor Diaz is going to play. I think I'm going to default and I'm going to captain Vestergaard tonight because there's potentially something in it. And also, it's going to be very difficult for people to make the right choice tonight.
Yeah.
On the Manchester City players, there'll be people. You got De Bruyne, haven't you?
Mm.
Well, he's going to be out, isn't he?
Yeah.
I presume.
Yeah, yeah. And even if he was fit, you'd rest him for the final of the weekend.
There's obviously going to be a lot of people with just Kane from the Tottenham Southampton game, and then you've got the choice. So, I mean, what would you do in the case that you've got Diaz and Gundogan? I sold Gundogan on Monday, and I'm wondering if that's a mistake, and I should have sold Ruben Diaz.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, time will. You just can't second guess Pep, so I don't think it's worth worrying about. Only worry about things that are in your control, not things that are out of your
control. Got a clue. It could even come down to what's the mental reaction of the players after the last 2 days or so in terms of who's in the right frame of mind, who feels up for the game, what's his intentions for Tottenham and PSG is obviously going to also have a big relevance on what happens tonight. And I don't think any of us could even guess whether or not Guardiola will pick his strongest team on Sunday or not, because he's played in League Cup finals before and left out big hitters in finals. So don't think there's a guarantee. And United have drawn it back to 8 points, which is nothing, really. City will obviously still win the league. But should they get beat tonight, then some people will say, well, are they falling apart? And it becomes mental. Well, imagine if they lost tonight, lost the final, then lost to PSG. Suddenly the narrative is completely turned, right?
Yeah, well, that'll be 5 in a row, wouldn't it? Four in a row.
I think... And that scenario is obviously extremely unlikely to happen. But I think City will probably go quite strong tonight. But they're strong is strong, no matter what. It doesn't help us with the team. So I think unless I can get hold of some information, I'm going to default and go for Vestergaard tonight, I think.
Yeah, and Villa haven't been particularly great. So I back City to win. I think what you mentioned about buying Heung-min Son might be an interesting one for me. We do have then the weekend's fixtures ahead of us as well. As soon as this game week ends on Thursday, the next one starts on Friday.
You're not buying any Leicester players tomorrow?
I will be buying Leicester players tomorrow, but literally... So the thing is, whoever I buy... I need for captaincy coverage both tomorrow and the following week, Monday. And then there's every chance that the Newcastle game might be an interesting one that I want to pick the Leicester player for captaincy as well. So I'm not interested in a player that might come in and out of the team, like a Barnes or Madison or whatever else. I want someone who is absolutely nailed, to be honest with you.
That's interesting because I would take, I think the majority of people are going to buy Iheanacho.
He's the default. I think he's the one that I'm looking at most likely. But
And I'm probably going to do the same. It's not impossible, and I said this last week, it's not impossible that I might buy Iheanacho and Vardy. It's a possibility. I think there are four names under consideration for me. Iheanacho, Vardy, Madison, and Soyuncu. And I think why Soyuncu for me personally, rather than Fofana, is I think the default for many people who might be a bit tighter on money is, well, there's no sense in buying Soyuncu. If I don't need the money, I don't need to make the choice. Soyuncu for me is the best in terms of playing out from the back of what Leicester have. So I'll pay the extra. I'm not going to need the money with people like Kevin De Bruyne sitting out at the moment and stuff. Harry Kane might even be getting sold. Might be putting a shitload more money in the bank. It's part why I bought Trent. Monday night. If Nat Phillips had been fit, I still would have bought Trent Monday night. I didn't need to make the downgrade. So I think it would be Soyuncu for me defensively. Fofana's a great alternative, by the way. And generally, if we were in mid-season, I'd say buy Fofana. Madison, I disagree a little bit in the sense that he might be what I go for if he's in the team. Because I think once he's back in the team, he'll stay in the team. That would be my view. And yeah, there's something a little bit punty about that. But I also know that he's not the one that people are going to go for because of what you just said. And so that makes me want to go for a player like James Maddison that also fills a midfield hole, which suddenly I might have a midfield problem in there again if Rafinha's injury, which we thought he would probably be available for Monday night, is something that continues like fucking Jack Grealish. I've got a problem there as well, haven't I? So Maddison is still very much under consideration for me. He would have to be in the team. Have to be in the team. There would be no thoughts of, oh, would it be cheeky as a substitute or anything? No, he'd have to be in the team. I think at the moment, if I get the information I want tomorrow, I'll probably buy two Leicester players if it falls the way I think it's going to fall. If I don't get the information, I think there's a strong possibility that I might just buy Iheanacho. And although it's probably not the right thing to do, I might go back for a second Leicester player on Monday, particularly in the case, say, Maddison's not in the team tomorrow and then in the team Monday. I might even more so take that chance on Monday because I might then have the information to say, well, I can dispose of Calvert-Lewin now, for example. And I might still need Calvert-Lewin on Friday night. I don't know at the moment. So I think captaincy-wise, I think Iheanacho would be the right choice. Mm. And it's worth saying as well that West Brom are much improved recently.
Yeah.
Do bear that in mind. The easier fixture of the two is Palace on Monday night than West Brom tomorrow, in my opinion. Mm.
Friday night is an interesting one. I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin as well at the moment for that ill-fated purchase the other week. He's sitting
so
there
unlucky.
For me.
Don't beat yourself.
Nah, I'm not bothered. But they say at the moment it says 50% chance of playing. But he's not going to play. He should be back for the game on Friday. Well, if he's not, I have a decision to make. But that's my entry into Arsenal. I don't own any Arsenal. So if Calvert-Lewin doesn't play, I'll bin him and I'll pick up an Arsenal player. And that will give me Arsenal coverage until the end of the season. And I'm fine with that. So Leno would be the one that I'm interested in moving to from Patricio, but it may be a case of Lacazette or Saka.
You're not getting any fear on that with Leno having missed out on Sunday, that he just decides to do that again, say when Arsenal play West Brom in a couple of weeks. He just goes, yeah, we'll give Matt Ryan another game. We've got to say that's a possibility.
Yeah,
we?
It's a possibility. No doubt about it. The one that I would probably do is sideways Calvert-Lewin to Lacazette and swing with that.
You won't be doing that, mate.
Why?
I don't think Lacazette will play again this season.
Oh, is he injured?
He's done his hamstring on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Do you watch football?
Yeah. I'm just not up to date with the injuries. I didn't even know Kevin De Bruyne had a knock as well. Well, then...
Aubameyang!
Little P, big P, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Maybe. We'll see. Eddie Nketiah?
No. I think... there's a strong case to say, so I've got Holding and Calvert-Lewin Friday night. Now, the word on Calvert-Lewin, according to Ancelotti, pre the Tottenham game, was that he would return for Arsenal. So I think we can expect him to play. I'm not even sure which one of the two, Calvert-Lewin and Holding, I would captain, honestly, if they're both in the team. Because I think it's very dependent mainly on what the Arsenal team is.
Mm.
My instinct would be on what I watched on Everton, say at Brighton, for example. And again, against Tottenham, they were better, but Tottenham were fucking inept. I'd probably go with Holding over Calvert-Lewin, I think, because again, I just think the consistency of the passing tiers at the back will probably be there. But an Everton team with Calvert-Lewin back in it might be a little bit more re-energised going forward. And I have to be a little bit conscious of Calvert-Lewin's ownership because he's still 34% or so. And if he's back in the team and other people got problems, let's say Matt Ryan plays again, he's going to go back up again a little bit on Friday night. Mm. So I'm a little bit conscious of that. It's very dependent on the teams. But I think if they're both in it and the teams are kind of roughly what I expect, I'll probably go Rob Holding, actually, rather than Calvert-Lewin on Friday night. If neither of them are in the team, which I'm pretty sure Rob Holding will be, because they don't have an alternative at right-sided centre-back till David Luiz returns. But if neither of them in the team, I think I'll probably have to skip it, I think. Because I just can't see where the reliability is on Arsenal performers from now till the end of the season with that Europa League semi-final. Mm. And even that, they're going to play, obviously, Villarreal the Thursday. They're going to play Newcastle, presumably the Sunday, but possibly the Monday. Then the second leg, Villarreal Thursday. Then West Brom the Sunday. Then now we know Chelsea the Wednesday is highly likely. We've even just seen it with like Leno and Mendy this week. That even for the
goalkeepers
the big six
now
or so.
Rotated.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
So that was the one position on the pitch where you could rely on at least like Edison's going to play every game, is he? Well, Edison,
I think, skip
will
it. And I can't see interest in, say, Michael Keane's. Similar problem, actually, with Everton. Yerry Mina's due back. He obviously got injured against Brighton, but it's not long-term. He could even be back for Friday night. So they've got Mina, Holgate, Godfrey, can all play centre-back. Admittedly, they're normally playing a back three at the moment, which is a little bit more helpful in terms of selection. Richarlison, James Rodriguez would have no interest to me. You can't buy James Rodriguez. He'll get injured again before the end of the season.
What's your thoughts?
So I think it would be Skip.
What's your thoughts on Saturday? Liverpool early kickoff, you'll know the team. For me, if Jota's in the team, I'll go Liverpool, I'll go Jota. And if he's not, then I'll just default to Jesse Lingard because he's the only other player I've got playing on Saturday. I'm not going to force in a Liverpool player, I don't think.
So I've now ironically got choices because I got Lingard for the Leicester game. So I've got Trent, Lingard, and I've got Dunkey.
Right.
At Sheffield United. And I think the deciding factor for me might be if Nat Phillips is back for Liverpool or not. Because my opinion on it would be that I think there's every chance against Newcastle that Trent could pick up pass and tiers and stuff. And obviously he could get attacking returns. But I would look at it at the moment and think, I'll tell you what, if Fabinho's playing centre-back, I think Newcastle will score. And Lewis Dunk at Sheffield United has got 10 pointer written all over it. And I might just go Lewis Dunk again. I think that's the most likely course I'm going to take is Lewis Dunk captain on Saturday. If not, I would go Trent over Lingard personally. Obviously, for those who've got Salah and stuff, you know, the good news for Monday is he'll play Saturday and stuff. And
You'd assume you, and if you don't, if he's not,
you're not going to not captain Mo Salah at home to Newcastle. And if I own Salah, what I'd be doing as well.
If he's in the team, whack it on him.
It's not impossible that I might jump on that train as well, just purely because if the fixtures open up for Liverpool, where I mean, the fixtures are good, they don't have the European concerns. And I just think, do you know what? I might need that alternative to Trent and say Calvert-Lewin hasn't returned on Friday. The Everton Villa game is not a single game day. It's not impossible that I might make that decision on Saturday. I find that extremely unlikely. And I think as it stands now, I will captain Lewis Dunk on Saturday.
Okay. Sunday, I have Patricio in the early game. So I'll obviously, he's likely to play. And that's not a bad game for Wolves at home to Burnley, being at the early kickoff. But these 12 o'clock Sunday morning games or midday games have been goal fests recently. So I don't know if I really fancy banking a Wolves clean sheet there. A bit of Leeds coverage in Dallas or our friend Bruno Fernandes from Manchester United. Gives me the coverage. Bruno would be the sensible one to go to, but it's away at Leeds. We've had a couple of good results. I may go Patricio, over Bruno.
I might even sell Bruno on Monday.
I'll captain
Bruno on Sundays. They're straightforward for me against Leeds. I don't think nothing to overlook there personally. And I think it's the safest way to go. You can certainly make a case for Emi Martinez and Patricio. I would feel more comfortable doing Martinez, I think, than Patricio, ironically, on Sunday. So I'll be going Bruno. I think if I have a really good 4 days or so and say that scenario, what I've laid out, say Maddison doesn't play against West Brom, but then is back in the team for Palace, it's the sort of thing that might make me pull the trigger on that move. I look at Bruno and obviously if you go without, he hauls, you're dead. You know it. But I look at the fixtures and I think I can manoeuvre around not needing the Manchester United coverage. And there ain't many fixtures there. You look at it and think he's going to go off really big. Now, he's always capable of going off, but I don't know about going off big. And I might even consider moving him on Monday night. It's just me and my position and where I'm in and trying to throw at it, right? That's the sort of thing. If that move was to come off Bruno to Maddison, you look at it and go, that's not going to work, James. And I know that because everybody told me the same about holding on to Lewis Dunk. But I might not just... I've got to try, haven't I?
Oh, of course. 100% and I think you do. I'm looking forward to...
That might be the move.
I'm looking forward to when you've got two transfers left in a few weeks' time because you're really then in that shit. They're like gold duster transfers. And not in any kind of rude sort of way, but you're going to have to squirm through the last 4 or 5 days, and weeks and stuff. It's going to be fascinating to watch because you're powerless, right? You've got nothing you can do about it. And if it swings your way, you could be walking into money. And if it doesn't, you're not. So I'm looking forward to actually you having two transfers left just to see how you maneuver the last few weeks. It's going to be amazing.
I think once these TV fixtures are announced, I will know what I'm doing till the end of the season. I think I will.
Barring injuries, of course.
There's the problem, obviously. There's got to be contingency. I mean, at the moment, I've got Rafinha, Calvert-Lewin and Kane all in the squad.
Flags.
It's very conceivable I've got a big problem there. When one more, I know that because I've seen it, there are definitely people around at the moment who have got other players injured. It's very easy. You could have those three, Nat Phillips, Kevin De Bruyne. You've got half your team injured at the moment, and I feel for you. It's unlucky, right?
Yeah, and that you're preempting Benny Blanco's question from the questions, but he asked a genuine question, which is, what's the point? Half your players don't rock up for games. The other half are injured when you've just bought them. What am I bitter about? You're goddamn right, all of it. So yeah, it's one thing to consider. Let's just wrap up the captaincy, James, with the Monday night. I mean, to be honest with you, I can't give you an answer because I don't know who I'm going to buy from Leicester. But the likelihood, whoever I pick up tomorrow will
majority
be
of people, a majority of people are going to be on Iheanacho on Thursday and Monday. And just to cover just one point on him, I think his position in the team is safe for two reasons. One, I don't think it's under any threat until Harvey Barnes is fit. That's the key. Not Maddison. Harvey Barnes is the key, I believe, to him staying in the team. Two, he's staying playing too bloody well to be
taken out. He's scoring every game, mate. He scored again in this cup semi. How do you drop him? You can't drop him on the form he's in at the moment.
He's flying for confidence. Absolutely flying. And one of the beauties with Iheanacho in like this format of game, a little bit like with Salah, Kane, he's a greedy bastard, right? He sees the net and he shoots. So you would feel now, if I said to you now, Thursday night, Vardy's going to score once and Iheanacho's going to score once, I would fancy Iheanacho to outscore Vardy, most likely. He's the more likely to hit that shot here, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And when you look at the price as well, it's very difficult to argue going against Iheanacho. I'm not saying I won't go both. And I'm not saying I won't just go against Iheanacho because I know everyone else is going to do it. But at this one, to me, because of the run Leicester have, it feels more like the Lingard one, where I feel I need to go on. At the moment, I don't have a fit forward. I need one. So I think it's highly likely I'm going to go with and go Iheanacho tomorrow as well. I think that's the first choice for most people.
Right. Got a few questions in on Twitter, James, before we wrap this pod, and some are just statements and so on and so on. But we've covered some of them off. We'll go through them and you can give your opinions on what we think. Yorkshire Exile, first up, just wants to know if you've got a nosebleed yet, mate.
No.
Paul, our friend, Paul Sky Player in FPL, 23 and rising, Planet FPL pod, took a calculated risk and boy has it paid dividends. Keep pushing, buddy. So there's plenty of people rooting for you out there, mate.
Thank you. It's appreciated. No, and I'll be very honest, and I know it's not what people want to hear on a fantasy podcast, but I genuinely mean that. If I'd not been on that Zoom call with Mark on Monday, I know it was literally that I hadn't even seen the teams. But it was so out of my mind, I genuinely could have missed it. Genuinely. And you know me, I'm always messaging you Sky reminder. My head
is such a
different headspace about football rather than fantasy. I had no idea how many FPL points I got this week. I don't know and I don't really care.
About 35.
I'm going to try and push. I've got to try and have a go. But in terms of nosebleed, it's not even on my mind right now. I've set Vestergaard as captain tonight because I know there's a good chance that in the hour before kickoff, the fantasy football is not even going to be on my mind in the slightest. So it's there, it's set, it's ready. Honestly, if I get a leak on a Man City team, I might not even see it. That's a strong possibility.
We've got a number of questions around Harry Kane. In fact, half the questions are what to do with Kane. From our friend Chris, Sky Addict, FPO and Sky Addict. Tom Hartnell, what to do with Kane. Darren, all to reclose. If Kane is out, what would you do for captaincy tonight? Would you sell him? A number of people want to know what to do with Kane tonight.
My instinct, and I'm not a doctor, is that the injury was probably not serious. I think the biggest clue was the fact he left Goodison Park without a protective boot. And he did after the Liverpool game when he got injured. And after the Liverpool game, he was back against West Brom in 10 days. The distance between the Everton game and the Carabao Cup final was 9 days. At the moment, I'm quite hopeful that Kane will play on Sunday. And the reality is that you will want Kane against Sheffield United in match week 34 and quite possibly against Leeds, Wolves and Aston Villa in the fixtures afterwards as well is a strong possibility. So I've looked at this before anyway to think, well, let's say Tottenham Sheffield United lands on the Monday, the 3rd of May. Leicester will play three times before Tottenham play again. And that's the kind of thing where I talk about going, could I go Iheanacho and Vardy? The thing with that is, if Tottenham's a Monday night against Sheffield United, there's not one where I can even swing against it. I'm going to need the bastard back. It's just two transfers. I would need that second player, be it Vardy. He would have to go off for me. And as I've already said, I'd probably captain Iheanacho over him anyway. So there's no justification from that perspective to make the transfer, I don't think. So it all comes down to what do you want to do afterwards. It's probably, I think in your situation, Serge, I'd strongly consider selling him.
Yeah, yeah, because I've got transfers left. A lot of people have 4, 5 and 6.
If you're looking for gains now, that's one where you can make a gain where the majority of people are going to go, shit, I need to hold him. So that's your gain entry point. You could get, in theory, 3 Leicester fixtures before Kane plays again.
Yeah.
Go and take the 3 fixtures, and then you go back, and you don't have to leave the Leicester player, by the way, because it's conceivable that after that, Leicester have then got still another 2-2 for 1 over Tottenham after that. So ironically, you wouldn't go back after the Tottenham-Sheffield United game. But I think for you, with sort of 9 left, yeah, you should consider selling Kane for a Vardy as an alternative on Thursday, or get yourself your coverage for Friday, or if you haven't got Salah for Saturday or something, get that covered off. For those like me, I think with 4 or 5 left, which is I think what most people probably got, and with flags, I think I'd look at it and go, I'm definitely going to want to be sticking the armband on Harry Kane again before the end of the season. And the ownership is monster. And he's too bloody good, as shown again on Friday night. So I think for me, he's going to stay.
And we'll give the last question of the show, James, to Tim Barry. Is a Leicester block defence worth a punt for the remainder of the season? Leicester block defence?
I love that, yeah. I mean, if you can do it, if you've got the transfers in hand and stuff.
So Pereira.
You want to go.
So you and Pereira's
returns have been very underwhelming since he's returned.
So with Trent, and what has he done in the last 4 weeks? He's been on fire. So I put Pereira in the same bracket that at any moment he'll go on a good run.
The beauty with Pereira, a little bit like Trent, you know, the attacking returns can be there as well and stuff. And I'm not sure why the tackle returns haven't been there for Pereira as much since he became available again. But yeah, if you were to go Fofana, Soyuncu and stuff, and Pereira, I don't mind it. Very conceivably could keep 4 clean sheets in those next 4 games. Mm. Very conceivably. I mean, them 3 home games, West Brom, Palace and Newcastle, were brilliant.
Yeah.
And against Southampton at the weekend, and just played them and didn't concede a shot on target. Although it should be noted that games at Wembley are often dross because of the pressure of the occasion and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it looks great from a defensive perspective, but then it looks great from an offensive perspective as well. But, yeah, if that's what Tim's thinking, I'm all for that. I can't do it personally, but yeah, I'd be in support of that. Go for it. Swing away.
Indeed. There we go, James. We've covered off captaincy. We've looked at the transfers. We looked at the fixtures and anything else in between.
Nicely done.
Indeed. What do we have left the rest of the week for our listeners, James? We need to ease off the ESL stuff. I know that much.
We're now going to go and record a podcast on the death of the ESL for our patrons, which if we think it's important enough, it's not going to go on Spotify or YouTube or anything like that. But if we think it's important enough, we will make the link available and open to everybody. Tomorrow, we've got Clash of Correspondents, Leeds versus Manchester United. FPL Tactician is my cat playing. Friday, we'll be reviewing the last 4 days of football from an FPL perspective, but probably not giving a shit about FPL. And I'll be streaming Friday night ahead of the deadline as well.
Indeed. There we go. If you are enjoying the show, you can head over to patreon.com/planetfpl where you can subscribe to our additional podcasts each and every day. And if you just want the free stuff, just make sure you're subscribed. Hit the notification bell wherever you're listening, whether it's SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and all that other stuff. Importantly, stay safe. Good luck with the games tonight. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.